Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1484, air date October 4th, 2024.
All right, everyone, welcome. This is our Thursday Truth, Freedom, Health open house. We do these every Thursday, and it's an opportunity for people to really understand what our movement's about. Today, we're going to be talking about the future is offline. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we have a great group of people who are joining us at our town hall. And I think I need to hide this, Trey. Trey's listening. So Trey's going to bring in our rest of our group. But anyway, this is our regular town hall we do every Thursdays at 8 a.m. And 8 p.m. and 11 a.m. So I'm going to exit here, Trey. I'm going to go over. See what we're here. Okay. All right. So welcome, everyone. We're also broadcasting this live, and we wanted to do a follow-up to the general audience on this entire notion of how do we actually change the world in a very mechanistic way, in a very grounded way. There are many, many ways that you think you can affect change. There are many, many ways you think you can build an airplane. There are many, many ways you think you can, do anything in life, any type of actual activity. And whatever profession you're in, profession meaning something you're a professional at, over time you find out that to do anything really well, you have to really get very, very focused. You have to understand sort of the lay of the land, the language, there's a set of physical laws you typically have to follow. You can't violate them if you want to shoot a basket, if you want to throw a curveball, whatever it is, right? There's a physics and then there's a science. That's one part. Then you figure out a tactic. So you understand the strategy, then you have to figure out the tactics, which means things that you have to repeatedly do over and over and over again until you master it. And then you have to escalate that and scale it. But there are fundamental steps in any profession. Those processes never change. And you can talk to anyone who's really mastered something and is very successful at something. You'll also find people successful in one profession or one area have great respect for people in another profession because they're willing to be conscious incompetence. They know what they don't know, and they know how much effort it takes to get good at something. So they respect other areas, of professionalism or people who've dedicated their lives to studying something, right? Think about in your own home, or if you have a place and you're looking for advice on anything you want to do around your house, you could go find amateurs who are going to play around, or you find people who've actually done it over and over and over again. Anyway, so when it comes to the world of understanding how do we actually affect change, this is an area that there is really, until we came along, until our movement, there's not like an institute you go to. You don't go to like a school for naturopathic, like you go to naturopathic medicine, or you go to school for medicine, or you go to school for jewelry, or you go to school for design, or you go to school for plumbing. Where is a school that you go to learn how to make revolution, to make change? Where is that school? It doesn't exist until we came along. People throughout the history of mankind have tried this, they tried that, they tried this, right? And they've made some incremental gains, but not anything of significant change, not to diminish other people's great heroic efforts. Our movement has figured out those mechanics, those systems at a very deeply fundamental level. And then we have made it accessible to everyone to learn, so you don't have to be a nerd. You don't have to go spend 80 years of your life somewhere doing, studying in books and being in an ivory tower. We've made it accessible in a shortened time frame. Then, layered onto that, we have figured out Now that you know the theory, how do you practice this in a way that it becomes tangible and accessible in your life, viable? So that was a whole nother set of development. When the internet first came, when the web first came, we all thought, wow, this medium could be used for free speech. We could get the word out, right? There was a period of time when you could do that, particularly when the internet first came, or the web around 1993, 1995, 1996. And then you had consolidation take place. Major players came and they started owning large platforms. By 2010, 12, 13, et cetera, these platforms became the environments for homesteading. Prior to that, people were building their own websites on their own platforms. They would host their own websites on their servers or small independent servers. But over time, technology, because of the infinite capabilities of power, profit, control, websites started getting stored at Amazon. Amazon not only sells you food and all this other shit, but they own massive data farms, data center farms. Most companies host their websites on Amazon for their critical infrastructure. There's only about three major telecommunications providers, AT&T, Vodafone overseas, Telstra, I think in place like Canada. There's another one in New Zealand, but there's like four or five major communications companies who actually own the physical fiber, the pipes. All right, so you have a few of those guys, a few of the people who actually own the apps to host stuff and deploy your content. When Marianne and Joanne came to Massachusetts, I took them to Kendall Square. And in literally in a 500-yard radius, you see the R&D headquarters of all these companies. Pfizer is in one direction, Moderna is another direction, Monsanto, Google, Facebook. But one interesting company some of you may not know about is a company called Akamai, A-K-A-M-A-I. If any of you hosts a website in your, let's say you have a website and you're hosting at an internet provider, somewhere in the cloud. You ever wonder, let's say that internet service provider is in Ohio. How do people in Japan see your website so fast when they click? Is because that website gets replicated through what's called content distribution networks. They're called CDNs. And this one company, Akamai, controls most of that flow of the trafficking. So one company could decide to make your website very slow, okay? So content distribution, content hosting has been centralized. If you want to be in the world of politics, the central platform for that is Twitter. 20 years ago, we had many, many, many in the United States small newspapers, local newspapers. In every state, there were 20, 30, sometimes 100 local newspapers. They've also been consolidated. Someone said, hey, Dr. Shiva, why don't you take out billboard ads? Well, we used to do that. But one billboard ad company called Clear Channel owns 90% of the billboards in the United States. If they don't like your message, they're not going to let you on. So at all levels, radio, two or three companies, Clear Channel also, by the way, owns most of the radio companies, billboards. Obviously, social media for companies, which are owned by government, right? So the unholy alliance between government and media companies was done for the following reason. If the government of the United States, let's say all of you are running for politics and they didn't like you and they threw you off some media platform, the government did it, that's illegal, it's unconstitutional. So what the government did was, they struck deals with private companies. Private companies also have First Amendment rights. So if Twitter on its own decides to throw you off their platform, they have a right to do that. They'll say it's our First Amendment right. So what they did was all these private companies now own critical communications infrastructure. Elon Musk, that dirtbag, was gloating a few days ago, ha ha ha, 67% of the satellites orbiting the globe are mine, Starlinks. 67% of the how did that guy overnight get that many satellites up? The only way that's possible is if you and government are one. As I've mentioned, go try to get your kitchen remodeled and you have to do a permit. Go try to go get a permit from your local town. How much rigmarole you have to go through. Where did he get all the permits to put up these 60, you know, hundreds, thousands of satellites? Well, he's not doing it, guys. It's government. It's outsourcing to him to put up those satellites. Now, why are they doing that? So let's say we are all on Starlink systems and they decide, hey, we don't like Jason Jeffries in Canada. We don't like him communicating. So we're going to really ramp down his communications. And you try to argue with Starlink. They're saying, you know what, Jason, we don't really like what you're saying. So we're going to do that to you. And you can say, whoa, whoa, whoa. My First Amendment rights, they go, fuck you to your First Amendment rights. We have First Amendment rights. Just like in Zoom right now, if some wackadoodle comes, we can say, fuck off. We can throw them off. We have First Amendment rights. First, the U.S. government cannot impinge on your First Amendment rights, but they can outsource that to a private company. Who are you going to sue? The government? No, they're going to say they did it. That's why my lawsuit was so historic, because we showed the unholy alliance between government and these social media companies, which they attempted to bury. So what's happening is the government, which gave us the First Amendment, has now outsourced the communications infrastructure, which was originally the U.S. Postal Service, which I've done many videos on, which is owned by us, the people. If the U.S. Postal Service intervened in your communications, you could sue and you could win. People would go to prison. You can't really sue Twitter per se. They have their terms and conditions. So this is a profound thing. Governments have outsourced their control of you to private companies. Therefore, they've checkmated us. You see? So therefore, these technologies, which were designed originally to help us, thinking we're going to get more freedom, have been further consolidated. And if you are a true opposition force to the existing swarm, they're going to put you in a digital cage. And that's what I'm arguing in this lawsuit against CISA. And so I've sued CISA, Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, and YouTube in one freaking lawsuit altogether. And obviously, you know, they're all going to work together. We'll see what happens. But anyway, the reason I wanted to share all this with you, understand this background. With the digital medium, you can do censorship at the speed of light. It was much harder with print mail, right? But now they can censor you at the speed of light. So our future cannot be on this online medium because they can control it. The future is offline. I don't mean to sound like a Luddite, you know, someone who wants to go take us back to the Stone Age, but the reality is the future is offline. And the future is us owning our own infrastructure as best we can. Even if you have your own servers in my house here, the line is owned by Verizon or AT&T, you see? So therefore, it ultimately leads to the fact that we ultimately need real workers' unions to seize those means of productions and give them back to the people. There are certain things that need to be owned by we, the people, like communications infrastructure. They cannot be owned by private companies. It's like air. Air should not be owned by a private company. It's us, for us to use. That's how communications has become. So our movement has created our own quote-unquote social media platform. And that social media platform invites people to our infrastructure, where they are invited to watch Shatter the Swarm, a video, 15 minutes, that really explains to them the dynamics of what's going on. Those of you who decide to actually want to do something in the world and want to save yourself, you are encouraged to get on the ground, go offline, and hand people these cards, okay? What are these cards? These cards are really an innovation, a little three and a half inch by 2 inch card perhaps Crystal, Trey, you can probably bring it up on StreamYard if someone can bring it up here. If you go to ShibaForPresident.com, we've created these cards. It may seem innocuous, but they're really a powerful weapon. Those cards, on one side of it, they say, save yourself with our branding. Dr. Shiva is going to teach you how to fight for yourself. So if you go to ShibaForPresident.com and you go to the free downloads, we've open sourced this. So you go to the free downloads, scroll down. There's two sides of the card. There's a front side, and Crystal will scroll down. There's a back side. The back side of the card, one could argue, is the most important because it leads the problem. They are killing you. Shatter the swarm. The cost of living is going up. Lifespan is coming down. Then you look at the axis and you realize it's been happening over 60 years. This is the policies of those in power. This is what they resulted in. So if you want to do, if you see this and you get it, scroll back up, Crystal. The second question you have to ask is, do you want to save yourself? Why is that important? Let's scroll back down. Because if you look at that x-axis, you'll see this has been going on since 1970 to 2030. Democrat, Republican, Independent, Democrat, Republican, all of them have screwed people. So we ask the question, do you want to save yourself? So you can print these cards out at your local, you know, print shop. You can print them out on your own computer. You can cut them. Go up, Crystal. During the election, we're saying, if you want to save yourself, vote right in Dr. Shiva. Why? Because we're going to invite you to take the journey of accountability. Go to Shatter the Swarm. Crystal, scroll back down. Or you can take that QR code and you can watch the Shatter the Swarm video that Crystal was kind enough to play, which is a very potent video which educates people. So all of you right here, you can go print out this card and hand it out. If you click on the shop, some of you may say, look, I don't have time to do that. Can someone else do it for me? Sure. So we created this another solution on the left side of Crystal clicks on that. It's called, you get 10,000 cards. And you get shipped to you, mailed to you, all included for $175. This is the solution. Either you can do them on your own, great, or we'll send them to you. One of our very dedicated volunteers found a printer. And by the way, the quality of the print is just amazing on the card when you get them. And you can get these cards and you can go to a parking lot. You can go to a, wherever you want to go to. And every one of those cards gives people a solution, which is themselves. To the extent Dr. Shiva and my face are there, they're part of the branding because we want to leverage a name brand that we've developed bottoms up. But ultimately, this is about people wanting to save themselves. And if you understand this, we've put this together. Crystal, go to vashiva.com/cards. We've also done this in every known language that we can, and we're going to be uploading all that. There'll be close to 50 plus languages. We have, I think, close to about, there's been some hiccuping on the site, Crystal. If it doesn't come up, it's okay. But we have to ask Brahma on that. But the website, you can see if it comes up later, Crystal, has this same card, but not vote, but it's about learn to fight back. And it's in around, I think, 20 different languages now, Japanese, Indian, you know, Hindi, English, French, all these different languages. Thanks, Crystal. So that card is a powerful vehicle. You hand these cards out. People then go to Shatter the Swarm. They watch the videos. Those people who are dedicated. Then we give them a course, a 20-part course where they learn system science related to different components. And then in 2 to 3 hours, they learn what they never could in 2, 10, 20 years. And this process helps us identify those people who are serious. And then some of them may have come to the open house today. And out of that process, we're building a community of people who are serious about wanting to save themselves and wanting to collectively do it too. So the reason the future is offline is, it must be offline is, you can just look at the data. I mean, I've shared this with you. My views used to be around 10 million views a day. They've dropped down around maybe 100,000 views on a lucky day. And this is because Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, and all these guys know that we're building a movement. We're the big elephant in the room they don't want to talk about. So they leave me on the platform so that I can't whine to them, oh, you kicked me off. They leave you on, but then they put all these ways to control your reach. The Anti-Defamation League, which is a Zionist hoodlum organization, said free speech doesn't equal free reach. Guess who else who said that? Elon Musk. The framers of the Constitution felt free speech and free reach were equal. That's why they created an organization like the Postal Service, okay? So the only way out of this is for us to put, if we want to really want to change the world, we should put our effort on the reality of what we can do to get innovative to get these cards out there. Seriously, it may sound simple. I shared with people, we had one volunteer, Matt Stoneman, who figured out how to hand it out in little plastic bags. And you may have seen the video, I shared it before. And some podcaster, a pretty well-known podcaster, got one of these little cards and they needed a video on it. And do you guys want to see that again? Or you guys can go watch it on your own. It's up to you. But this video was a random guy who saw one of our cards and then he ended up doing a YouTube video on it. So that reached tens of thousands of people. So what I want to tell you is that these cards and your distribution of them give you incredible ability to affect people in your neighborhoods. When they sign up, we find their phone numbers, they give to us, and then feed them back to you. So you can literally hand out cards and build community locally. The future is offline for people who are serious about changing the world. Do you think that those in power are going to allow us on their mediums to try to tell them that we need to, you know, get rid of their medium? I don't think so. The future is offline. Our future is offline. Your future is offline. And you'll find out many people who've come to us, came to us during the 2020-21 period, or they came to us because they see our offline activity. And that's going to keep growing globally. So the future is really offline. And going offline is going to build an aspect of your socialization, which the online medium really doesn't allow you to do. So there's many, many benefits to doing this, to going offline. So those listening, not in the town hall, those listening wherever you are on social media, to the extent that social media allows us to reach people, small or large, we'll keep doing it. But the future is offline. It really is. So for example, in Arizona, Marianne and Joanne are having local meetups, right? We did one here in Massachusetts. People are doing that all over the world now. Meet together, form local communities, connect with people, hand out the cards. It's very hard for them to compete with that. And remember, there's 8 billion of us. The more we're on their platforms and we rely on them, the 0.00001% can control us because they own all that infrastructure, guys. We cannot compete with them. The future is offline. So I wanted to really emphasize that. We've talked about this before. But as you look at what's going on with the events with Israel going, or you know, Iran defending itself and knocking out military. By the way, you can't control the electronic media. So Israel's bases apparently got hit pretty hard. They apparently lost like 30 or 40 F-35s. What Israel did was they called up the satellite company or the technology that, you know, from space you can see, you know, data. They had them put fake clouds over all that, okay? So the level of censorship that you can do at light speed on this electronic media is literally infinite. So what really happened in Iran, we'll never really know anymore. Unless we have people on the ground communicating to us, like old school newspapers, old school journalists. During the Vietnam War, you had journalists on the ground who'd be reporting. Well, all those journalists don't allow to be they're not allowed to go on the ground anymore because they don't want people to see what the hell's going on. So we, in the midst of all this social media, we have very little news in a sense. The Orwellian contradiction is taking place here. So what is going on in the Middle East? Well, one thing is Iran bombed them. Israel saying nothing happened, nothing to see here. They didn't touch us. And then other data shows they really nailed their military base, some of their military key locations pretty well. So, and the fact that Israel can scrub satellite imagery pretty much says everything else that they can do. So the future is really offline. The powers that be have consolidated social media. Elon Musk and Zuckerberg, they've done it so well. They own social media over here. Over here, you have the consolidation of the U.S. Congress, all owned by Zionists, completely, lock, step, and barrel, right? All of them. And then you have, doesn't matter which fucking candidate among them get elected. So I don't think the elites even care anymore who gets elected. They don't even have to control it because they know they both are puppets. It doesn't matter. They can even let the elections run, quote unquote, fairly. But by the they've created a self-organizing system that whoever gets to that level is their boy or girl. You see what I'm saying? They own them. So they'll even let, quote unquote, fair, controlled elections take place. But the way that they control elections is ballot access. Ballot access. Richard Winger, one of the leading scholars on ballot access. And by the way, who is fighting for ballot access? It's us. Right now, 8 billion people throughout the world, by and large, have suffrage. What does suffrage mean? The right to vote. About 100 years ago, women could not vote in the United States. By the way, women could vote 50 years before women could vote in the United States and Afghanistan, whether you knew that or not, okay? So now we have most people can vote. The elites were forced to give voting rights to people. But then they took one step forward and two steps forward and one step back. What they did was they said, oh, okay, we're going to give you the right to vote, but we're going to control the choices who you can vote for. So you get Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And then again, on that medium, they control the TV, they control the radio. So only those two candidates get any access. And the real election fraud begins with what's called ballot access. Who gets on the ballot? Kennedy said, oh, I'm never going to work with Trump. I'm an independent. By the way, he stole our slogan. Our slogan was declare your independence. He was the first one to go suck Trump's Zionist cock. That's what he did. And by the way, all the news is coming out that he was banging all these women in the anti-vax movement. I don't know if you guys saw this. Okay? And his wife may leave him. And by the way, his last wife hung herself after he kept a diary of 38 women that he'd been banging. Okay? And then she found that. These are the quality of people that get ballot access, right? Or get to do deals. Ballot access is critical to a real democracy, not voting rights anymore. Who actually gets on the ballot? Well, our movement, many of you on this call have worked your butt off to help us get on the ballot. And after we got on the ballot, they tried to take us off. But did we stop? No, our movement went offline. We file lawsuits. And Richard Winger, the leading guy in the world on this whole notion of ballot access, did a great article, you know, because he's been watching us. He's 82 years old, but he's been a fighter for ballot access, for independence to get ballot access most of his life. Trey, if you're listening, I'm going to ballotaccess.org. And Richard has this very popular blog that he does to that whole community. And he put this up. He goes, on September 30th, independent presidential candidate Shiva Idre filed a federal lawsuit. By the way, to be accurate, I helped with it, but it was really Crystal and Abigail who filed it in Nebraska against the Nebraska Secretary of State, even though his petition had enough valid signatures. The Secretary of State kept him off because he was born in India. So Louders, Abigail Louders, who's our lead plaintiff, filed it against Evanen, who's the Secretary of State. The case is assigned to U.S. District Court Judge John Gerard, an Obama appointee. No presidential candidate in history has filed so many lawsuits. It's funny. Over constitutional qualifications and ballot access. In the distant past, he talks about other candidates who filed lawsuits, but it was one, you know, this woman, Linda Jenness, filed one in Ohio in 1972. PETA Lindsay won in California, but we have filed in New Jersey, Utah, Wisconsin, Tennessee, Nebraska. We're going to go after Louisiana. We legitimately got on the ballot. It says his lawsuits always point out the true candidates are his are the elector candidates. So this is one of the most esteemed guys, and he's giving us the credit we deserve. So we are actually out there fighting for the entire pool to get ballot access. That's what we're doing. And we're doing it with independent people who are learning how to file lawsuits. Crystal, Rose in New Jersey, Eileen in New Jersey, Angela Rohr, Rudy in Utah, Nicholas Lupo in Tennessee, Frank Marshall. And then we're going to also do it in Louisiana. We're preparing for that. We're finding the right legal basis. So our movement is on the ground, guys, doing all this stuff. We're doing the work of, by the way, New Jersey, as I mentioned, has 2,022 lawyers. We have like a quarter of my time, and we're challenging them. So I want to really inspire you guys to understand how much we can do if we get off the plantation and we realize we just have to roll up our sleeves and you have to build this movement in the community of others. There's so much we can do, so much we've done with such quote unquote little monetary resources, but it's been through our dedication and our love and our firepower, you know? And anyway, I did Trey and I are going to broadcast a video I did with these two guys, one guy with Jimmy Dore, former Jimmy Dore guy, who doesn't, and then I call Matt Wineglass. They started the discussion, and then we'll go to Q&A, or we'll go to introductions, saying, you know, Dr. Shiva, we like what you're saying, but, you know, some people think you're too harsh. You know, can you tone down your language? And he goes, what do you have to say to that? And I said, look, you guys need to both shut the fuck up, okay? That was my answer. You don't know what you're talking about, because you seem to think that if I do that, that we're going to somehow mysteriously grow the movement. No, it's not true. The reality is my words and my deeds, my anger is in complete resonance. And you guys have your heads up your ass thinking you're going to somehow maneuver people to like you. It's not how it works. So anyway, I'm going to end with something really funny. I hate this guy fucking Booby Kennedy. Really, really hate him. So Michelle told me the news came out that he was banging all these anti-vax women. Okay. You may have seen that. And his wife may be leaving him. She may. She's profiting from the association because she gets movie deals. You know, they have all these whoredom relationships there. None of it's based on any type of real love. Seriously. Seriously. Booby Kennedy said he has brains in his, worms in his brain. Okay. What else? And then he hangs out with that guy, Rabbi Shmuley, who wants to butcher every Palestinian. So I did a tweet this morning. And not only am I going to share this tweet, which is pretty funny and harsh, rightfully harsh, but you should see how others are responding now. And that's even more inspiring. Okay, so let me share this with you. And it will get you realizing that, and in spite of all the shadow banning, who is this? Let's go over to this. Okay, here it is. Okay. Oh my God, this is hilarious. All right, let me share this with you. So here's a tweet. And if you have children in the room, you may need to take them out, but here goes. It goes, as I predict, a Zionist cocksucker, Booby F. and Kennedy, went on testosterone therapy to get his dick up to bang anti-vax women. However, he ended up licking so much ass and got brain worms while jacking off on Rabbi Shmuley as Israel killed 40,000 women and children in Palestine. This is how he'll make America healthy again. But everything in here is absolutely true, by the way. He got testosterone therapy. He was banging every woman in the anti-vax movement. He said he has brain worms. Now, this we can look at the actual reasons. Maybe I'll do a cytosol video on this. Him and Rabbi Shmuley, this guy wants to butcher all the Palestinians, hang out together. And I said, this is how they'll make make America healthy again. Now, what's funny is A year ago, people would say, oh, you shouldn't say this. This is horrible. But you can see the change. LOL, I've always thought Booby was dickless and brainless. He's got a voice right now, Dr. Shiva. He's waking people up. Hang tight. So this person's saying I shouldn't attack him. Your savagery is to the next level. I think you is quite intelligent, but your language, it's really not appropriate. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not that intelligent. But what's funny is that others who we don't even know are out there saying, maybe I can help you with that. He doesn't say these words willingly, referring to me. It's rather the ultimate anger that one can't hold inside anymore on behalf of billions of unaware and innocent people are constantly getting murdered, oppressed, bombed, stabbed, and robbed off. I understand what anger can do, but Mr. Shiva wants to be president of the USA and it won't serve him well. This guy says, cancel him then. Someone says, shut the fuck up. It's the truth. No one is doing shit to fix this mess. Stop bootlicking, worshiping, funding these fucking genociders. Linda, go fuck yourself. Grow up. So people are realizing this language shit is nonsense. Okay? And you can see this reaction, which is completely changed. And we don't know who these people are. Finally, someone who calls it like they see it, okay? And I would say 80% of these are, 90% are on our side, okay? I love your vernacular, okay? Zionist filth for sure. This guy say, that might be the best tweet I've seen from any presidential candidate. Candidates writing tweets like this needs to happen more often. So I'm sharing this with you because people know what I wrote here is absolutely true. Everything here. And people actually despise these people, but they have an incredible control over people to make them think we should respect them. Why? You see what I'm saying? That's a brainwashing. I respect Crystal. I respect Doris. I respect Marianne. Why the fuck should I respect this guy? Who the fuck is he? So this is a 2-degree shift that's got to take place. We must have great disdain of these people. Now, after this 1.5-hour video, these guys came to my side. They go, yeah, we're getting it now. You see, it's just a brainwashing. That's, if I had put that tweet out there in 2020, Crystal, we would have probably lost 80%. Right? But we have had an effect of constant titration. Constant injection of the truth, step by step by step by step. And the next time Booby Kennedy shows up to your neighborhood and people throw a tomato after him and throw him off stage, that's when you know people's consciousness of race. They cannot treat these people as people are there to help you. And you have to have that vigor and that anger against these people if we're going to be successful, because these people are really, really low lives. They know what they're doing consciously. That's why they get promoted. That's why they go from zero views followers to 3.7 million followers, while I'm at 300,000 followers. Future is offline. The future is offline. Embrace it. Switch to it. And as I shared earlier, I want to share with you this last video, which shows that when you unleash your creativity, I shared this with the leadership thing, with the warriors, that if we spent 99% of our time in our meetings and among ourselves, hey, how do we get those cards out? Not like, oh, what do you think about Trump? Oh, what do you think about the debates? Fuck that. The issue should be, how do I get these cards out? Well, Matt Stoneman used his brain. Very creative. Okay? Matt decided, there's Matt right there, the Matt and Nicholas. Oh, okay, Nicholas, you want to share that? So Nicholas and Matt, look what they're doing. This is hilarious. Yeah, so show what you're
making that the right cards up to the camera. Putting them in the Ziploc bags with the little pebble you get from, you know, putting fish tanks. And we just finished making like 600 of these in like an hour.
Yeah, we just did all these while we were on the phone here.
Yeah, so they did 600 cards in Ziploc bags. This is a very powerful marketing technique Matt came up with. You guys drive in your car and you throw it out the window, right?
Yeah, I'm driving, he's in the passenger seat.
Right.
We actually probably, what, in an hour do like 500?
We can do 500 to 1,000.
And that hits people's driveways, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, I mean, but the thing is, this is a technology. This is an innovation. Okay. This is like email. They came up with an innovation. And the innovation is, how do you reach people in a direct way with these cards? Is this effective? People may not think it's effective. People are like, oh, you got to get on Tucker Carlson's show. Oh, Dr. Shiva, if you tone down your language, fucker will put you on. Well, fuck fucker. Okay. All right. Because look what just happened. So I'm going to share with you this. Out of Matt and Nicholas's very creative hard work, a podcaster, one second, guys, could you mute yourselves? A podcaster in their area saw our video, right? I think this is it, right? And oops, so this podcaster sees this video, and he a podcaster somehow came across Nicholas's and Matt's handiwork. And then he did a video on it. And this is some reasonably well-known podcaster. So let me play this for you. I played it before, so sorry if it's repetition, but here you go.
Okay, craziest synchronicity ever. And now I'm probably voting for Dr. Shiva. Okay, so I'm not making this story up. This is my Truth Tuesday post. I was just taking my dog for a walk, and she stopped in front of this person's house, and she popped a squat. She was taking a dump on this person's house, and I fell down and realized I forgot my doggy bag. So I was not a good neighbor in that moment. I look up on the porch, and what do I see? I see a guy sitting on the porch watching me watch my dog take a shit. And I'm like, oh man, I am so screwed. Now in my head, I was racing through all of these different scenarios. Is he going to shoot me? Is he going to chase me down the street? Do I address him? Do I say, sorry, man, I'll be back to pick up the poop? And he's going to be like, yeah, right, you are. And in my head, I'm like, but I promise I will. But in his head, he's like, no, this guy's a piece of shit. I'm going right to Nextdoor app. I'm going on Facebook. I'm taking pictures. I'm taking videos. I was like, my life is completely over. My life is over. And then in that instant, I looked a little bit over to the left, and I saw a plastic bag. I saw a plastic bag sitting on the ground, and inside that plastic bag was this card: vote for Dr. Shiva. Now, I remember there was one on my mailbox the other day. Someone's been going around the neighborhood putting clear plastic bags with Dr. Shiva business cards in them on people's mailboxes. And it just so happened that that plastic bag came from a factory in a far off place and landed in some intrepid Dr. Shiva campaigner's hand. And he took the time to put this card in that bag, and he drove around, or she drove around, and so lovingly placed that bag on that person's property to try to get the word out about Dr. Shiva. Now, that guy didn't get the business card for Dr. Shiva, but I did. And more importantly, I got that bag. And more importantly, I cleaned up that poop, and I left there with my head held high, knowing that I was a very conscientious neighbor beyond reproach. Shiva 2024.
So anyway, I've shared that before, but I think it's important to understand that what Nicholas and Matt are doing there. Let's go back to the pulse. Let's go back to the normal view. Can we go back to, do I have to stop sharing? Crystal, can we go to the normal view?
It's normal view, gallery view on my end. Let me see.
Oh, I have to do gallery view on my end. One second then. All right. So is gallery view everywhere?
That's a good question. Marianne, is it gallery view for you? Yep.
It is. Okay. So anyway, remove spotlight. There we go.
Okay, there you go.
So I wanted to share that with you. It's a very simple example. But this was a Viet Cong strategy. We use these cards, we get them out there, people go to shatter the swarm, they get educated, and this is how we grow the movement. People understand the science of systems. Yes, I will continue to do videos, but understand this medium's reach is limited for us because they know who we are. The future is offline. The future is offline. So start using your noggin. Start coming up with innovative ways to get out these cards. And I'm sure collectively we'll come up with very, very profound ways, simple ways, funny ways, but the news will get out there. All right. Thank you. Let's take questions. Let's introduce some new people we have. To those people listening on social media, we always have new people. We'd like to introduce them. Let's start with Joanne. I think, Joanne, we've seen you before, but I think it might be valuable for people to know about you. If you can tell Joanne who you are, where you're from, how you came across our movement, and et cetera. Go ahead, Joanne.
Hi, Dr. Shiva.
Go ahead.
Joanne, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm here in Arizona. I'm a naturopathic physician, and I came to know about the movement through the pandemic and all the health vitamin D information that Dr. Shiva was sharing with us. And then Marianne Berry was contacting me months later and was very persistent in getting me to become an elector for Dr. Shiva here in Arizona. Very honored to have played that role here for Arizona for Dr. Shiva. So also I was attending the science and system medicine course this weekend. It was excellent. I encourage everybody to check that out, sign up, either be on site or virtual. It's definitely an excellent thing to be taking part of. And I'm already speaking to my patients and my colleagues about it, and they're very excited about it, introducing me your body, your system tool. And I haven't even finished, I haven't even taken the test yet. So I still have to get my certificate. But yes, so thank you.
The System Self program, many of you have wanted, now we've gone into a very mature level. Tomorrow we're doing a mentoring training. There's another tutorial, but the System Self program is a platform. It's an educational process. And now we have products and we have technologies that you can embrace and you can use to literally create your own System Self educator business if you want. If you want to start building your own sustainable business. So we've created that program for people who want to do that. So that's right. So anyway, good to have you.
Dr. Shiva, are we having
what's that
meeting tomorrow? Because do I need to contact Jason about a follow-up meeting tomorrow for the
Yeah, there is a follow-up class. Mentoring meeting. Have Jason and he'll let you know.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So Crystal, do you want to pick the other people who look new? And even if some of them we may not know, if you could have them introduce themselves.
Sure. I think Bosin and Glenn introduced a lot of the new people, but I think I remember some.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think Bosin and Glenn, if you guys remember some of them off the top of your head, and you can raise your hand if you.
There wasn't that many actually new people, so I think some new people might have just shown up. So it's go ahead and ask.
Yeah, we introduced one person, Cassandra. Okay. Yeah.
Cassandra? Oh, from North Carolina. What about Denise Lalland?
Yep. She's a Canadian. We talked to her.
Okay. Okay. If you could unmute Cassandra, I'd like her to meet Sonia. Because Sonia was in the breakout. Is Cassandra here?
I'm not seeing Cassandra right now. Yeah.
Okay. She might have.
She might have left.
She might have left by now. I think Teresa McCormick is new here to open house. Teresa, would you like to introduce yourself and just let people know how you found Dr. Shiva? I've asked you to unmute. You just accept the.
Am I unmuted?
You are. Hi.
Hi. I'm from Nebraska. I followed Dr. Shiva when we had COVID in 2020. He's the one that helped me write my first letters to request the ballots from county clerks.
Correct.
And because of him, I'm one of a few, but because of Dr. Shiva, I started talking to the county commissioners about how elections are stolen, manipulated.
Awesome. Thank you for coming, Teresa. I saw your name and it kind of made me smile. I don't think I've seen you at an open house, so I wanted to call on you.
Oh, I come. Well, I've come once before, at least.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you came back. It's probably been a while.
Yeah, and I'm always interested in what Dr. Shiva has to say. Thank you.
Good to have you, Tracy. Good to have you.
Raise your hand.
This meeting is being recorded.
Introduce yourself, please. Roland Cater. Kindly unmute yourself. Roland Cater. Denise Lalande.
Yeah, she's from Montreal. We've talked to her.
Oh, you did? Okay. Hi, Denise. All right. Gary Reeder, have we spoken to him?
Long-time Canadian member, yep.
Okay. All right, well, I think you guys probably covered them before we came, right? That's what it looks like.
I think they did for some of them, yep.
Okay. Nick Avanes? Patricia Torello? Patricia Torello?
Hello?
Hi, Patricia. How are you? Where are you from?
Bridgeport. I'm one of your electors, and I didn't get to get signatures for you, but I pass out flyers daily, and I spread the word. I share you on Facebook, Instagram. My dog almost died. I started taking care of my mom, but I let everybody know, and I constantly go on posts that are political, and I put your name there, and Truth Freedom Health, and I love you, and I don't know. I'm spreading the good word, and again, I'm one of your electors, and I'm sorry that I failed with the signatures, but I'm still out here and I'm trying my best, homeschooling my children, being a single mom, and just trying because I know who you are from following you and watching your videos. And Crystal, I'm sorry to feel like I failed you guys, but I love you guys.
I'm gonna keep on.
Patricia, I think the most important thing is you went and did the work. Now, in some states we got on the ballot, in other states we got on the ballot as write-in. But the most important thing is we keep moving forward. And what's occurred, as I mentioned earlier at our breakout meeting, is we now, you know, have nearly 35, 36 states where we have leaders, people are developing. People learned a lot from the signature collection process. We learned how to mobilize people. We learned who was committed, who was not committed. It was an excellent process. Yes. As Richard Winger said, I mean, this guy's been in the ballot access world for years. Booby fucking Kennedy got $20 million.
Of course, because hey, like you said,
yeah,
I approached a Bridgeport kid and he looked like an ex-drug addict, not judging or anything. But I said, are you being paid to get them signatures? And he's like, yes, I am. And I said, you need to turn over to Dr. Shiva. Like where I live, it's like drug infested. We got a lot of hardworking people here. As you mentioned, you know how Bridgeport is. We're trying to build it up. I don't want to be here, but I'm here. I'm a single mom. I'm scared every day just going to the beach with my kids, but I'm out with them all the time. Like I said, I homeschool them. I do herbal stuff. I do the blood type diet. Like I just try to do the best. And like I said, I was driving through the hollow of Bridgeport tonight, just pulling over, playing Mozart, blasting it and just handing out your flyers. I go to the library, I get them printed out. They even gave me my first 50 free. And I was like, see, there's a reason for everything. I was just in the backyard and spotted a praying mantis. So the universe is always speaking. And if everybody bands together, like you said, We're independent. We need to be free thinkers and not have the puppets pull our strings.
Yeah. The important thing is we keep moving forward and we keep building infrastructure when we find other good people. That's why handing out those cards is important, because the cards takes the receiver of those cards through a process.
Yep.
Do they want to prove themselves? Do they go watch a Swarm video? It's a very powerful educational video. And then they walk the process, you say?
Yep.
Of wanting to, you know, get offline. The other thing I want to let everyone know is that we are also in different parts of the world, different parts of the United States. We're organizing events, local events. One of the, in New Zealand, for example, we had our first GMO safety conference using cytosol. We have another one coming up. And so there are local, very specific actions that are taking place. Tony Pierce and I, we're doing the second international conference on GMO safety. The first one was very successful. The next one is taking place our time. So in different parts of the world, So that movement's going to take off. We may also use some of our legal prowess there to use cytosol and file some lawsuits there. But we have some amazing opportunities because we have Systems Health, a powerful solution for health education. We have cytosol, a powerful technology which can get down to the scientific source of truth. We have the Clean Food Seal, which can help define
This meeting is being recorded.
She's got so much stuff going in our lives, but those flyers and those cards make it very efficient for her in the midst of all the other 90 million things she's got to do. She can still be an activist. So it's a very powerful technology.
Yep. Like you say, be the light, love and light. And that's what I tell them, you know.
Great. Thanks, Patricia.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions? Any questions? Any questions? Did you guys know the significant set of things are going on in the Middle East right now? And is it theater? Is it real? Right? What's actually the dynamics of what's going on? What we do know is that the elites need crises. They need crises to be able to print money. And with the printing of money and printing of money and crises go hand in hand. The United States reserve currency is possible because of war and crises, because then they can print money. And that's how this whole racket works. It's a chicken and egg process. So what unfolds in the Middle East is going to be interesting. But what's clear is that our movement has to grow regardless of what those people do, bottoms up. And that's what we're doing. And this election in the United States will be over in, 40 days, right? 30 days? Less than 30 days. It's October 3rd. Tonight, right? On November 5th is the election. So 32 days, something like that. My math is right, right? Or 33 days, it's over. Now, it doesn't mean our movement's over, but we have a heightened opportunity to get the word out. And we have people overseas like Karel in Netherlands, one of our warriors there who got us on one of the major podcasters there. He's actually helping call into California to get people to be electors here. Okay. So everyone's helping out. So it's a global movement. So get involved. It's a lot of interesting things that are taking place. If we want to help with New Zealand, we can help with the GMO movement there. We can help them put their lawsuits together, but we're one, you know, team that is working together, but the future is offline. As I mentioned, the powers that be have consolidated power at a very deep level. All of these technologies are owned by a finite set of people, and with light speed, they can censor people. So that's why we must go offline, and that's where the bread and butter of this movement is going to be built offline. Any questions? Good to see Kevin Smith back in Texas. Good to have you, Kevin. All right, Crystal, I don't think there's any other questions. We just need people to get to work. And Trey, if you can sign off by playing the president video to social media. Oh, there's a question here. Julie Ellis in Ohio. Go ahead, Julie.
Hold on. Can you hear me?
Yes, Julie. How are you?
Okay, yeah, good. What are your thoughts on all these central digital bank currency and, you know, how they're trying to thwart these digital, I can't even think, I'm so tired, with licenses, with, you know, immigrants being able to vote and all of this? What are your thoughts on that?
There's two different questions. I think one is the centralized digital bank currencies, right, Julie?
Yeah.
So what's happened is, remember the central principle that I keep saying is technology unto itself is not a good or bad thing. It's who controls that technology, okay? So when you look at the cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, they talk, you know, a lot of people, they say, oh, it's blockchain. Well, none of them have ever even actually built blockchain. So they sort of talk out of their, you know what? But the reality is the creation of cryptocurrency or Bitcoin requires tremendous amounts of energy. The reality is it's highly centralized. They claim it's decentralized, but it's highly centralized. Trump, the bullshitter he is, he said, oh, I will never have centralized digital bank currency. And then a few weeks later, he goes, oh, we're going to have cryptocurrency. Maybe we can pay down the national debt with that. That's precisely what the CDBC goal is, centralized digital bank currency. So what's going to happen is when the U.S. national debt, let's say, gets to $70, $80 trillion, some number, okay, they're going to overnight create a centralized cryptocurrency, okay, over here. And it's going to be called FedNow. I think that's what it's called now. They're going to create a different parallel currency, the government, and here's the physical currency called the U.S. dollar. And they're going to, one day you'll see the president or whoever the president will come on TV and he'll say, you know, things are really bad, fellow Americans. We need to all tighten our belts. So what we're going to do is we're going to buy all your dollars from you. And in return, we're going to give you this centralized digital bank currency. But the problem is, you know, we have to do a little bit of inflation. The $100,000 home that you thought you had is only worth now $30,000. Okay. They're going to do like a 3-for-1 swap. So they're going to devalue the U.S. assets. And at the same time, they're going to get everyone trading in these centralized digital bank currencies, which are much more watchable, controllable, et cetera. Bitcoin, in many ways, was the first way to get people mentally into this concept of digital currency, right? But that's where this is headed. This is why, be the Trump or Kamala, whoever, whichever idiot gets in, they're both very, very valuable to the swarm because they're both Zionists. They both believe in this process. Trump just manipulates people. He just says whatever people want to hear at different times. The second question I think you had was something about immigration. I didn't understand that question.
Talking about making the licenses like sort of digital so that.
Yeah. So you can track everyone. So,
right. So it's not things, just about the immigrants. It's more, you know, all inclusive.
Yeah. So you saw that video, Trump saying biometric tracking. I want that. Have you guys seen that video? So look, the reality is, like, when you really step back and look at this, America is a nation of immigrants, is it not? This country was built by immigrants. Right. Every one of us, if you're American, is immigrants. So what is this anti-immigrant rhetoric? What is all this about? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's like the hardest working people, as I know, are working people and immigrants.
Right.
Right. So where did all this anti-immigrant rhetoric come from? Oh, my God, they're all criminals. They're da, 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 da. OK. The reality is, remember, the way the establishment works, whether left or right, is they always create a crisis. And then they say, we're going to save you. We'll take care of it. Safety. But in order for us to give safety, you're going to give up some of your rights. Oh, my God, those horrible immigrants are coming over here. They're killing people. We need IDs on everyone. People say, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's going to get an ID. You're going to give your thumbprints. You're going to have your retinal scans. Everything's going to get done. Oh, yeah, we're doing this to protect us from those immigrants. Right. Now you're fully tracked. That's what this is about. And in fact, if you, I may be able to find that, I think I retweeted this, but Trump is openly talking about this. He's the biggest fascist around, openly fascist. The other ones are more liberal fascists. And people don't seem to want to take is, so let me just put biometric, let me go on Twitter here.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't quite articulate that right. I meant they're using that as an excuse so that they can do surveillance on all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is what Trump said. Let me bring this up. So they always create a crisis. Then they say they're going to save you. And in return for saving you, you're going to have to give up some rights. It's just a standard.
It will be on sea. It will be in air. We will have a complete. We will finally complete the biometric entry exit visa tracking system, which we need desperately. We will ensure that this system is in place. And I will tell you, it will be on land. It will be on sea. It will be in air. We will have a proper tracking system.
And if it hasn't come clear for you, it's pretty much here in this first story from mintpressnews.com. And I actually.
Okay. So that's where this is going. Okay. So all of this is being done, not for fighting immigrants. That's just a boondoggle, right? Oh my God, the pandemic is coming. Okay. You need to do this. Oh my God, the banks, the big banks are bad, right? So you need to do this. So they, or child pornography, right? We need to do this. So whatever it is, yes, these things do exist, but they hype it up to such a level. Then the inverse is for safety, we need to do this. So whenever you hear the word safety, it's basically the stepchild of violation of your privacy. So that's what's going on, Julie.
Thank you.
That's what's really going on. Let's go to anyone else? Okay.
Crystal,
if you need to make any other announcements, but in the next 30 days, we're going to be out there campaigning. We're going to try to hit a couple of states in the United States. We have a couple of lawsuits that we're going to be prosecuting all the way through. We'll see what the Supreme Court does. Whatever they do, it doesn't matter. They're all corrupt. But regardless, we've done the right thing. We filed these cases. We've stood up for people. And that's what the history will memorialize. So all of you should be very, very proud of yourselves. But right now, hand out those cards. We've made it easy. Get those cards out. And I want to thank Matt and Nicholas for the creative work that they did. And you can see the fruits of their labor. All right, everyone. Thank you. Be well. Best to you and your families. Be the light. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva. So definitely get some cards out. We have last words of what we can do.
Yeah, everyone, thank you for being here at today's town hall. The objective for the next 30 days is just getting out there, getting cards out, as many as we can. I have it linked in the chat where you can get cards or you can download and print them from the Shiva for President site. You can also buy 10,000 cards from the site and do become a warrior so you can learn the system's principles of building a movement.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low-caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working-class neighborhoods of New Jersey,